chapter 2 this morning. Good to have the Bears back with us. Hallelujah. 5 months gone. I know it was only 5 weeks, but it felt like... They brought back more than they left with. Very good. Miss Patricia is here, so praise the Lord. Staying just after her birthday. And right? Is that true? And very good. And Mr. Bayer is a little worse for when he left. I don't know. Yeah, whatever. She keeps saying it, but I don't know. Yeah. All right, very good. So we're praying for you guys, and we're thankful that you're here. It's good to have Nico and Chima with us today, and praise the Lord, they're a blessing. Ran into them, and it just worked out well that ran into them at Starbucks. So praise the Lord, I'm glad they're here, and make sure you make them feel welcome. Who else did I see that... Again, our college kids are back, and so praise the Lord for that. As a preacher, sometimes not stressful, but it's a little stressful. You know, making sure you have the right message for each week, and you really pray and God lead me to what it is that the people need, not what I want to say, but what the people need. There's a couple times throughout the year that pretty much the message of what is going to be preached is previously dictated due to the calendar, meaning Christmas, right? So no surprise that we're in Luke chapter 2, but a little pressure in preaching the birth of Christ. I mean, it is somewhat of a lofty topic that you want to do justice to. So I'm really going to try as best as we can this morning to let the scripture speak for itself. I do have points, how many of those points do you have this morning? I showed my young adults class my notes to this service this morning, and they were a little disheartened. So they said, "What are you doing to us?" I said, "Well, my desire is to be a blessing to you." So there you are. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." And wouldn't that be... Wouldn't that be something if there was a leader that would control the world? You understand kind of what's going on here. Rome has great power. One of our young adults asked, they said, "Why did the Jews deny Christ?" That's a great question, right? I asked that this morning. Because they were looking for a king. They're looking for someone to take out Caesar Augustus. But what was born was a savior. They would have got the king had they accepted him as the savior. They wanted him showing up with the sword and the flame of fire. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. "And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David." Last week we spent an extensive amount of time looking at how much of verse 4 was foretold. That he would be of Nazareth, born in the city of David, in the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was. And while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ, my Savior. Lord, as we look at these passages this morning, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified and pleased. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know for sure that they're saved, that today would be the day that they make a decision for you. Lord, again, use your word in a powerful way to encourage our hearts And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Briefly this morning, we're going to look at the chronology of Christ. It starts off this morning with a cradle. When we had a when we had our first child, we had a one bedroom apartment, and Sam stayed in our room. We had a little crib thing there, and he stayed with us. How many of you have ever used a cradle, the actual rocking cradle, Miss Bear? That's a little more older. No offense, but Mrs. Wilson. And most parents keep the baby with them close by at the beginning. And a baby has its own unique bed. It's a small, and some have the rocking mechanism so I don't have to, right? Like babies like to be rocked. We wrap them tight and we swaddle them. Isn't that what it's called? Ever swaddle a child and they're crying and fussing, and you take that that receiving blanket and you tuck it under the one arm and then you pull it across, and then they're like mummified and then they just gone. It's like, how is that possible? And it's like a miracle. And that's kind of what we have here. We have a little baby born. In a little while, Jay and Anna are going to have their third, Lord willing, and we're excited about that. We love babies. It's exciting. It brings life. It's an exciting time. Man, you have a couple that has their first child, and man, the whole world's all about that. Here we have Mary and Joseph, their first child. Here they are now making a grand tour of the country, if you will, to be taxed. She's, as it says, great with child, uncomfortable. Ladies, how many of you remember how uncomfortable it was? There's no comfortable position. And there she is traveling. And there no Cadillacs back then. No minivans back then. Walking. Maybe in a cart. And normally, the birth of a child is pretty exciting, but these circumstances, could you imagine the worry and the anxiety between Joseph and Mary when they can't even find a place to pillow their head that night? They're going from house to house, place to place, trying to find, is there a spot available for us? And there wasn't. The only spot that was available was a manger. Say, what's a manger? It's where you keep animals. It's a barn. Could you imagine, ladies? I'm sorry, there's no room at the hospital. There's no midwives available. There's no room even at the hotel. We have a spot for you here in the manger. Now, we must have been nervous. Must have been anxious. So what happened that day? Well, Christ was born. It says in verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Jesus Christ himself was born that day. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. Keep your hand and now you can turn. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. Our very first point this morning is that Jesus Christ was an act of love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 says this, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us. God's love was made known. It was seen, it says. And this was manifested. It was given life. How many of you love your family? Hopefully all your hands go up. Good. And you love them so much that you've just went to the stores and gone to the places that they like and tried to find a gift for them just to express your love for them. That gift, I don't know. Mr. Everhart, what do you hope to get on Christmas Day? Anything?
Beyblades.
What is it?
Beyblades.
I have no idea what that is. Is it big? Okay, All right, play it along. Someone cares about him. He's hoping to get Beyblades. An expression of someone's love for him. When he opens that gift up, what is that? That is the manifestation of love. A gift. Is that not so? Hopefully you give gifts out of, not obligation, but out of love. And Jesus Christ was born. And why was he born? As a manifestation of God's love toward us. Beloved, let us love one another, it says in verse 7. Verse 9, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Luke chapter 2. That we might live through him. Jesus Christ showing up that day in the manger was proof of God's love. It was an act of love. It was a gift to all of mankind. We associate love with gifts. Say, that's not right. That's how it is. It's just real. Say, where do you get that from? God did it. God loved us, therefore he gave us Jesus Christ. He gave it to him. He gave it to us. It was a gift. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9 says that salvation is simply a gift. All you have to do is receive it. So what showed up that day was God's love toward us, now manifested that I could see it. Proof. Proof. Go over to John chapter 3. Verse 17. John 3:17 says this, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The plan for Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 2, first cry, very first breath, taking in all of that, born in a manger, animals on the sides, all of that going on, Mary and Joseph anxious over the birth of Christ, all of that happening, all of that going on was God's plan. And it was all part of the plan that you might be saved. You'd be saved. You would get the gift of eternal life. That was his plan. That was his gift. Got some nice gifts over the years. None compared to eternal life. Even the nicest of gifts have an expiration time. I remember when I was a young boy and we got the very first Nintendo. Whoa. Awesome. Duck Hunt. Mario Brothers. Super Mario Brothers. That's good. Excite Bike. Salvation, still very much a gift. That has not expired. It's God's gift to us, a life. Back to Luke chapter 2. Point number one, cradle is an act of love. Next, what do we see? Verse 8. It was in the same country, shepherds, hiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night, because that's what shepherds do. Sit in the field and watch their flocks. Why? Well, because at night, animals come and try and eat sheep. Right? So, shepherds stay up, watch and sheep. Oh, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Love these little phrases. They were sore afraid. So, you don't think the Lord was making it up when he said that? No. These men, they're willing to stay up all night and fight off wolves and bears and other things. I'm good with that. When the angel was up in the middle of the night, in the middle of the field, with glory round about it, That's scary. The angel said unto them, words, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy shall be to all people. To you is born this day, the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest. On earth, will toward me. As the angels were gone away, them in the heaven, the shepherds, one to another. It's now go even. This thing which has come to pass, the Lord hath known unto us. Came with haste. Mary, Joseph, they had seen it, he'd known abroad the saying of them. All they heard it, under that saying, told them by the shepherds. He kept all these them in her heart. Shepherds returned. The shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God, all the things heard, seen, was told. Point to produce number two, the adoration of the shepherd. Worship. Once was born and you're so excited. But you're going to find one. All of a sudden, Aaron, you're up. Overwhelmed by the whole thing. Imagine if you got word that Jesus Christ just showed up. All your stuff had to cross. Find him exactly how he said. Manger, lying wrapped in swaddling clothes. Show up, like, wow, this thing's for real. You gotta go leave. Adoration of the shepherd. Glory to God. Fully in action. Rejoiced over. Verse 14. Angels shouted, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace. Built for men. They're saying, highest amount of glory, just manifest. Hey, we are so excited. Glory. And then, excited are we about? Excited are we about this Christ? We worship a glorified Lord, word, action. Often, all of these things, whatever it is, are we glorified? Simple.
husband awoke from the nap, tried to extinguish it, wrapped her in a rug, didn't work, tried to use his own body, but she had already suffered serious burns. The next morning, his wife passed away. Henry Longfellow had facial burns so severe that he couldn't even attend his own wife's funeral. He would then grow a beard to hide his burned face, and at times, he was so grieved over it, he feared that he would be taken away to an asylum because it was so devastating to him. When his son Charles, or what they called as Charlie, arrived in D.C., he sought to enlist as a private in the Massachusetts Artillery. He got permission from his father, and he joined. His father wrote to some of his friends in Massachusetts, a senator and governor and medical examiner, to watch out for his son, and if he could, try and make him an officer. But his son already proved himself and impressed himself among the other soldiers, and he was made, didn't need the recommendation of these other three people, but was commissioned as second lieutenant in the 1st Massachusetts Cavalry, assigned to Company G. He was in a battle, fell very ill with typhoid fever. In doing so, he missed the Battle of Gettysburg. He rejoined his unit on August 15th, 1863. On December 1st, his father gets a telegram that his son had been severely wounded 4 days previous. On November 27th, 1863, while involved in a skirmish during a battle, Charles was shot through his left shoulder, and the bullet exited under his right shoulder blade. Went across his back, skimmed his spine. Charles avoided being paralyzed by less than an inch. He was carried to New Hope Church. Charles' father and younger brother Ernest immediately set out for D.C., beat him there by 2 days. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was alarmed when informed by the surgeon that his son's wound was very serious, and he might be paralyzed. Later on, he was told that by the surgeons that it's going to be a long healing, at least 6 months. So there, Christmas Day, 1863, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, a 57-year-old widow, father of six, sitting by the bedside of his oldest, who had nearly been paralyzed as he fought for his country in a war against itself, wrote a poem seeking to capture the dynamic of his own heart and what he was observing around him. That poem's in your hymnal. You open up to 4. We'll not sing it, but we can read it. 426, you see Henry W. Longfellow's name at the top of the page. He says, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. You understand why he wrote those words. We're a country divided, fighting, killing each other. His son is lying in the bed next to him, injured by another American. Verse 4. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And there is the story of I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, very similar to the story of Luke chapter 2. There was no hope. There was a country oppressed by Rome. Here, a child lay in the manger. This is no king. It's a little boy. But what they were looking at is our third point. What arrived that day was hope. The arrival of hope, much like the song, darkness would have no chance against the light of the world. John chapter 8 and verse 12. He announced to the whole entire world, I am the light of the world. It was the manifestation of hope. And now you and I, as we look at Jesus Christ being born that day, what showed up that day? Number one, it was the act of love. Number two, we saw the adoration of the shepherds. But number three, what arrived that day was hope. Hope for all of mankind. So when I read 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. That ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I have hope now. Hope in Jesus Christ. So Christmas time, that's what we celebrate. We celebrate hope. Jesus Christ gave us an opportunity to undo every wrong we had ever done. Ever say something and wish you could get it back? Ever do something and wish you could change it? But the past is the past. You can't change it. You can try to make it right. How about offense to God Himself? I wish I wouldn't have told that lie. Wish I would have obeyed my parents. Jesus Christ is the opportunity to make every wrong right through Jesus Christ. Because what that cradle produced some 33 years later was a cross. And that cross, just like the cradle, was an act of love. Go back to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. It says this. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Not only did He send Him in Luke chapter 2, but He also used His life to pay for our sins. That word propitiation means payment. It's a big word for payment. And some 33 years later, He made payment on a rugged cross for your sins. That's why the birth of Christ was so exciting to us. Because it led to an event. The cross. We would never have the cross without the cradle. John chapter 10. Look at John chapter 10. The cross was an act of love. Say, they took His life. They killed Christ. They did not. They did not kill Christ. They are missing it. John chapter 10, verse 18. No man taketh it from me. What? His life. But I lay it down myself. He gave His life. Jesus Christ willfully went to the cross. He willfully said, I'll go pay for all of their sins. It wasn't because He had to. It's because He chose to. Because He loves you. There's gifts underneath your tree. Not because someone had to, because they love you. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Not because He had to, but because He chose to. Because He loves you. What God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. an act of love. We saw the adoration of the shepherds, but the cross produces an acceptance of the sinners. That a sinner would be accepted in the eyes of God. In Luke chapter 24, go there, Luke chapter 24. And verse 39. We're almost done. Luke 24 and verse 39. No, 23. Sorry, 39. 23. The one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him. So Christ didn't die on the cross alone. There were two people on either side of him. Mocked him. He said, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear him, fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Who was dying on the cross next to him? A thief. A sinner. Did he deserve that cross? Christ did not, but the other did. And what does he say? He says, "Because of your faith, today you'll be with me in paradise." And from that point forward, Jesus Christ has been accepting sinners into his family, to which all of us are beneficiaries. The acceptance of sinners. There is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm no longer condemned. I'm no longer guilty because of the cross. The acceptance of sinners. The cradle was an act of love. We saw the adoration of shepherds and the arrival of hope. The cross was an act of love. The acceptance of sinners. And lastly, our answer of hope. Colossians chapter 2. In verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I now have hope. He defeated my problem, sin. If we were honest with ourselves and with God, we would all agree we are sinners. And we recognize the consequences of sin. But there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I don't have to pay for that. He made payment for me. And now I have hope. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Last verse, Romans chapter 5, and verse 2. Romans 5, 2. It says, "By whom also we have access, by faith, into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope." Remember what the shepherds did when they saw Christ? They glorified God. Here, in Jesus Christ, know what I ought to do? I ought to rejoice. Rejoice in what? In the hope of the glory of God, Jesus Christ. I ought to rejoice. Say, "My life's not what I wanted." We're not rejoicing in your life, we're rejoicing in Jesus Christ. The gift of eternal life. So this morning, as we kind of shelter our mind, thinking from all the distractions of Christmas, we stop and we consider Jesus Christ, the birth, the arrival of hope that day. The question is, have you accepted? Accepted Him? Let's all stand. I like what the shepherds did. The minute they saw Him, they left. And they went and told everybody. I wonder if some came back with Him. I wonder if some came back and said, let me see the Messiah, let me see the Christ. And some did not believe. I'm going to ask you here this morning, if you're not saved, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've wondered, yeah, what is this Christmas thing all about? What's going on with this? Is this for me, or is it just presents or some sort of money-making scheme by Macy's? No. There's a point behind it all. The greatest gift ever given in Jesus Christ. Yes, He showed up in the cradle, but what He did on the cross changed all of eternity. If you've never accepted Christ, can I encourage you here today? Hey, come see me after service. Come talk to me. Say, I would like to know more about this. I have a book for you I would love for you to read. I'm not a big reader. It's a section of the Bible. Say, I would like to know more about this. Come see me. Christian, if you're here this morning, when was the last time you rejoiced in your heart over the birth of Christ? When was the last time you made it known? You shouted, glory to God in the highest. And you let the whole world know that a Savior was born. May we be faithful in worshiping the Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. Thank You for Your kindness towards us. Thank You for Your love toward us. God, I pray that we would never get over what You did for us. Lord, I pray that You would be honored and glorified here today. Lord, I pray if someone here today is not saved, they would ask those questions. God, I pray that we would be faithful witnesses, and faithful in glorifying You with what we say and what we do. Lord, we love You tonight. Lord, I pray that You again would be pleased, and that You would get true worship from us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good afternoon. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock.